In this podcast, we will be talking with Becky Rondi, co-owner of Green Edge Organic Gardens, Amesville, Ohio.
Okay, the reason that we became involved in this grant was not because of our knowledge of dairy, goat dairy, but because of our experience with developing curriculum and workshop materials that share all of our secrets. So, you know, because we have all of these, you have every farmer, probably every business. I mean, they've worked hard, they've developed everything that is their business, and they're very protective about it. And they have these little shields up around everything to keep them safe and their market safe and their customer base just for them. And we faced that when we were developing our season creation workshops. But we decided that we were getting older. We weren't going to be around here forever. And this is valuable information. And if we are as a society, as a region, as a culture, going to be able to feed ourselves without relying on fossil fuels to transport food from California and Honduras and God knows where else, we're going to have to develop systems that work here, and then we're going to have to share how these systems work. And so that's what we're doing. You know, we felt like there was a real need to have younger growers know how to grow in the wintertime in unheated high tunnels, so we don't rely on fossil fuels for the ability to grow. And so the other thing that we knew from attending workshops ourselves, and I'm sure you've probably come up with the same thing, if you go to a workshop and someone says, oh, well, this is how you do it, da 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 da, and it works great, and this is, and here are our products, and blah, 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 and you're going, yeah, but, so we brought in a financial picture of our business too, because we felt that unless we were sharing some of our numbers and our costs and our income, people wouldn't understand the depth and breadth of the economic impact that we could have. And so that's a very strong part of our workshop, is that economic picture, because that's what gives you credibility.
Mm-hmm. One of the challenges, I think, with the dairy goat industry and the business of goats is the fact that the market is there, but we haven't been able to reach it. That there is mm-hmm. demand, mm-hmm. and the products are really high quality. I mean, Go to the farmers market in Cincinnati, Findlay Market, and, you know, raw goat cheese is $30 a pound. That's unbelievable, but that's the price they're getting. But that's a very slim market, and there are many products that animal can produce. And so that's why when you're talking about the financial piece of it, mm-hmm. it's really vital, because we need to look at how do we deal with our taxes? How do we save money from that? Right. How do we actually pay ourselves?
And I think a different, you know, like for us, one of the biggest portions of our expenses is payroll. I mean, because we are coming from having 10 high tunnels, doing a winter CSA, a summer CSA, a winter CSA, and part of our I don't know what exactly what part of it you'd call it, but you know, we wanted to create a situation where we would have year-round employment.
Yeah, that's
so that
important.
So you don't have to be retraining people all the time. I mean, anybody who's ever had a kidding season knows, you know, you've got to have people who know what to do, mm-hmm. and who are willing to get up in the middle of the night and go out and check and see if anybody was born, so they don't freeze to death. Because you know, I mean, all of those things, and it takes a very special person to have the desire. And I don't know if it's willingness, but, you know, it's hard to find people who want to work that hard.
Right. That's a big problem. Well, the other thing, too, I see is that when you have year-round employment, then you have the people you want, and they have a life they can depend on as well. So it works the full circle of it works
in a valuable way. It makes much more sense in my mind to, if I've got somebody who I'm employing and I'm following all of those, the rules and laws that govern having employees, and there's lots of them, that, you know, you don't want to have to be retraining someone or letting people go. It's just, it's a nightmare of paperwork, but it's also a nightmare of actually getting the work done and getting it done well.
Mm-hmm.
Having that expertise of those tasks being done correctly, and enthusiastically and efficiently.
Yeah, with passion too.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, you can train somebody to do something, but, you know, when you find somebody who gets it, by meaning efficiency, quality, perseverance, mm-hmm. you don't want them to take off.
Right.
You want them to stay where you are. And so, yeah, it worked a little while for us, and it worked just that way. And it was like, wow. But then, of course, as always happens, the economy changed. And so things, you know, we had to make some adaptations. But so the picture that we had 4 years ago is not the same picture of our business. But that's because we're older now and we're trying to move away and find, you know, so that's a whole nother story.
But that's a good point, because everything changes constantly.
It does.
It's the one thing we can depend on.
Right.
And so in a good business plan, we've got to massage those ideas constantly to keep it working.
That's
because
it's really always going to change, for sure.
Change.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And if it's not the economy, well, look at the weather patterns. You know, I mean, this workshop is about growing in high tunnels in the winter without heat. Well, it's a really valuable thing because it's been darn cold. I mean,
yeah.
We've had minus 20 in those houses just 2 weeks ago. And things are fine because we know how to manage that. But, you know, it's hard to share knowledge that is hard won. It's a personal knowledge. It's hard to let that knowledge go, because it's like you're giving up your power. But you really aren't giving up your power. You're making more power because more people know what to do. I don't know.
What you're doing is saying we're sharing the knowledge so you don't make the same mistakes. And also,
you're going to have your own mistakes.
That's right. And so everybody comes together, and then that broadens the marketplace, because that knowledge is spread along. You know, I see this in the goat world. It's just so pitiful to watch people getting goats and taking care of goats and killing goats and letting them die.
Yeah.
And it's all out of that unshared knowledge, that history that lots of people have not handed down.
Right. And you know, I mean, before, that was the only way to learn, was by knowledge handed down. Now, it's almost like you have to learn your own knowledge and then hold it sacred to yourself. Because, you know, if you shared it, then somebody else will know what you know, and then they're going to get one leg up on you in that marketplace. But, you know, when we first started coming to the farmers market back in 2004, and then as we started growing as a business and having more tunnels and more product, and going from a single to a double booth at the farmers market, and what I saw was that the more stuff that we had, the more other growers there were. So it's like, the more that's available, the more customers will come. And the more customers that come creates not enough growers.
Right.
So then
creates
you get
demand.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you get people trying to say, well, maybe, you know, maybe we can step up and handle that little section, another grower saying, you know, maybe we can come up and we're gonna try and do this part of this. And then they'll build up their customer base. And then now that's more customers coming everywhere. And that's how it worked at the farmers market here for years. And then the marketplace, where we had to move the market, we had to shrink our vendor space, not so much our numbers, but we had to shrink our vendor space, and the customer base shrunk with it. Which is so.
But there's that always changing environment. So
exactly.
Then people have to work together to figure out how to how to change that, raise prices or increase space or whatever that is.
Right. Yeah. And there's not a willingness to be the most expensive.
Well, that's not all bad.
Well, that, I mean, but I, just overall, I mean, you know, if a new person comes to market, their first inclination is, I'm just going to mark mine a little bit cheaper than anybody else's so that people will come and buy from me. If that's the customer you're going after, you'll never stay in business. Yeah. It's okay that people, that you, it's okay, but if that's a customer you're targeting for, then you're not going to make it because there's not enough of them.
Well, when you're going, they're not looking for the same quality that you're trying to produce.
Exactly, too. Though, mm-hmm. then there's quality. And so, you know, my goal is to be the highest priced person in market.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I meant, because I was thinking if you're constantly undercutting and everybody's there selling similar things, then that's going to undercut everything you're trying
exactly,
to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, you know, you don't have to be cheaper. You just have to be the same as everybody. If you're new, don't you know, you're do something that makes people pay attention to you, whatever that is. And I don't, you know, use your imagination, but you don't want to have a reputation for being inexpensive. You want quality. And you want a fair price and a quality product. And that's what people at a farmer's market are looking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things you bring up, which I think is of value, is that we get into the business of farming, dairy, produce, whatever we're doing. Right. But we didn't necessarily come to be the marketers and the branders and all the other things that are required to set us in a position for our products to be valuable in the marketplace.
Right.
And that's where also that groupthink and the cooperative piece comes into play, right. And is so helpful, is sometimes sharing those dollars or mm-hmm. sharing information or working together in some way.
Right.
I see that as a huge challenge. Because we have skill sets, but they're not always incorporating the ones that help us succeed.
Right. And yes, I forget what there was something you said triggered something, but I don't remember what it was now.
Thanks to Becky Rondi for sharing her ideas and expertise. Technical assistance and photography is provided by Kat Harrier and Devin Kennedy. This program is a part of a collaboration between Rural Action and NCSARE Research and Education. In future podcasts, we'll be interviewing a variety of people who are connected to the specialty dairy product industry, plus talk about how to make a living by supplementing a dairy business with other products produced by the animal. Marketing, branding, animal welfare, standards and regulations, and more will be covered in upcoming podcasts. For more information, visit www.ruralaction.org. Copyright 2018 by Rural Action and Blue Rock Station, LLC.